Good afternoon all.
Today in this workshop on emerging AI technologies in the maritime domain, I'll be presenting my research work undertaken on the topic fault detection rolling element bearings through implementation of transfer learning. The presentation contains 46 slides and shall be covered under the headings flashed on the screen in an approximate time of 18 minutes. I'll be explaining why I have taken up this topic for undertaking a limited research, because I have faced on board and during my appointments, I have faced the major failures of rolling element bearings in the diesel generators as well as various pumps and motors, and wanted to contribute something to the Navy if I could through application of AI. So I'll be explaining in the next 3-4 slides in the introduction that why I have taken up rolling element bearings as the component, what is the technique being used for the fault detection, as well as why the need of application of AI is there. So rolling element bearings, or REBs as we call them, are the most common and the most critical component of rotating machines, as majority of system failures arise due to faulty bearings, causing unprecedented losses of material, machinery, and men. This necessitates extensive condition monitoring and early detection of faults in case of REBs. Also, various techniques of condition monitoring are available today, with vibration monitoring being the most employed one due to its advantages such as ease of application, non-invasive, well-established processing and signal analysis methods, and real-time reaction. Having selected the component and technique, acquisition and processing of vibration data constitutes the next step, as it helps in making informed decisions about the health of any rotating component. Several automated acquisition and data pre-processing techniques have been developed. However, analysis and correct interpretation of complex real-world signals still requires intervention of domain-specific expertise, and the need of application of artificial intelligence is felt, as manual analysis is not competent enough due to obvious reasons. Since study of raw vibration signals is challenging due to presence of noise and interference, application of machine learning or deep learning with signal processing and feature engineering becomes obligatory. Accordingly, numerous ML or DL methodologies have been developed across the globe, but most of them are still test rig specific, and transferring them to real world industrial applications is the biggest challenge. This is where transfer learning steps in, and which is a technique to transfer the knowledge and most importantly the experience of the model on one data set to another. The same has been implemented in this research, which involves acquiring data for different bearing faults and pre-processing of the acquired data, selection of various signal to image conversion techniques, and pre-trained deep learning models for comparative analysis through application of transfer learning, and validation of the proposed combination models through two different data sets recorded with different working conditions and dimensions. A brief introduction of one of the most popular and efficient convolutional neural network architecture, AlexNet, this being one of the networks used in this study. Introduced by Alex Krasevsky in September 2012, as an advancement over the existing image classifiers, AlexNet has been pre-trained on almost 14 million images across 1,000 classes of ImageNet dataset, which is a publicly available open source dataset. The network contains 8 layers, which is 5 convolutional layers and 3 fully connected layers. During the previous presentations, the concept of convolution and different layers has already been explained by other speakers, so I'll not get into the details. Convolutional layers use ReLU as the activation function, while the output layer use softmax as the activation function. These are some data regarding the AlexNet. Now, the pursued methodology in the study is as shown on the screen. Data collected from a bearing test rig, quoted here as source domain data, was processed, and selected signal to image conversion techniques were applied, creating different data stores. This was followed by training the pre-trained models with these data stores through implementation of transfer learning and undertaking a comparative analysis. Performance of the best combination has been validated using two different data sets, quoted here as the target domain data sets. Coming to the experimental setup of the source domain data set, the data has been acquired using the bearing test rig available at the AHM laboratory, Center of Automotive Research and Tribology, IIT Delhi. The setup uses a DC motor to actuate the motion, and the bearings used for the study are introduced with different types of defects, such as the inner race defect, outer race defect, ball defect, and cage defect through various mechanical means. The same is depicted in the figure on screen. Specifications of the bearing used are mentioned in the table. The vibration readings are captured through an accelerometer mounted on the bearing housing, and the data is transmitted to a OROS data analyzer. Vibration data for each bearing defect condition has been recorded at three different rotational speeds, that is 19, 23 and 29 Hz, with a sampling frequency of 6400 Hz. And a healthy bearing condition has been used as a reference line. The speeds have been selected with a view so as not to obstruct any characteristic defect frequencies or its harmonics. Verification of presence of defects and effective data acquisition was realized by validating the characteristic defect frequencies obtained theoretically by the formulas displayed on the screen and through implementation of fast Fourier transform. Now, for undertaking the comparative analysis based on the most common applicability and efficiency, three most commonly applied signal-to-image conversion techniques have been selected. These are signal-to-image conversion using short-time Fourier transform, using conversion to grayscale images, and using continuous wavelet transform. Now, to generate the training data, the original files for each bearing condition and rotational speeds are split into equal signal samples. For this, the minimum split sample length can be calculated as flashed on the screen, wherein to prevent information loss, each signal sample must contain enough sampling points. Normally, the sample length is selected to be equal to one revolution of the shaft. Here, based upon the least rotational speed 19 Hz and the sampling frequency of 6.4 kHz, the minimum sample length has been calculated as 337 sampling points. In the present generation of training data, the sample length has been taken for a duration of 1 second, that is 6400 sampling points, to reduce computational costs and complexities and maintaining the minimum value. Just to explain the method of acquiring the data. If this is the acquired data signal for an outer race defect at 23 Hz, containing a total of 19,20,000 sample points. This is a 5-minute data. The first split sample has been taken for first 6400 points, as explained in the previous slide. Now, to minimize the information loss, a 50% overlap in each split sample has been maintained. So, second split sample is taken like this. Now, each split sample is subjected to three selected signal to image conversion techniques, which were short time Fourier transform, conversion to grayscale images, and the continuous wavelet transform. Each individual output image is stored as a separate image in respective data stores, which shall serve as class labels in training of these networks. Thus, this procedure resulted in generation of a total of 8985 images for implementation of transfer learning. Now, this is the point to note, that for training the AlexNet, we required 14 million images in the ImageNet dataset. However, we are going ahead with only 8,985 images of our vibration signals. Proceeding further, the target domain datasets have been selected from two different setups so as to validate the models from signals of different working conditions and varying bearing dimensions. Experimental setup for target domain dataset 1 obtained from the publicly available bearing dataset from Case Western Reserve University. This is as displayed on screen. The setup uses a DC motor of 3 horsepower and a deep groove ball bearing SKF 62052RS Specifications of the bearings are as tabulated. Out of the various sampling frequencies, defect sizes, bearing location available in the data online, experimental conditions approximating to the source domain data set, that was the bearing test rig of IIT Delhi, those have been selected, that is pertaining to the fault size of 0.021 inch drive and bearing with sample frequency of 12 kilohertz. Further, the vibration data does not contain any data for cage defect. For processing of the data, it was divided into 5 different data sets on the basis of speeds. Each signal trimmed to uniform number of sample points and subjected to processing similar to source domain data set, with the exception of application of only CWT as the signal to image conversion technique, thereby generating 378 images for each class of 4 data sets. The 5th data set was created by combining images from all 4 data sets of constant speeds. So the 5th data set served as the data set for combined different speeds. The experimental setup for target domain data set 2 is as displayed on screen. Bearing specifications are as tabulated, and acquisition and processing of data has been done in the same manner as source domain data. Again, with the exception of application of only continuous wavelet transform as the signal to image conversion technique. This led to generation of 1797 images per class. So these 2 data sets shall serve as our target domain data sets for validation of our proposed network, which I will be explaining in the slides to come. Proceeding to selection of pre-trained deep learning models on the basis of efficiency, speed in image classification, architecture depth, and the number of learnable parameters, 4 models have been selected. These are GoogleNet, SqueezeNet, AlexNet, and VGG16. The model parameters are as displayed. It is pertinent to mention that efforts have been made to increment the range span being covered in terms of depth as well as number of learnable parameters. Coming to the implementation of transfer learning, it has been implemented using Deep Network Designer tool of MATLAB. Total 12 combinations resulting from 3 signal to image conversion techniques and 4 DL models have been obtained. Further, for training of these models, the generated data was divided into training, validation, and testing data in the ratio of 70%, 20%, and 10% respectively. Commencing with the comparative analysis, training processes of 4 models with short time Fourier transform, A-scale images, and continuous wavelet transform are displayed here for reference. It's pertinent to mention that overfitting was clearly evident if I just go back on the slide. In this slide with grayscale images, these are the training processes with grayscale images. Overfitting is clearly evident in the training processes, despite several training parameter optimization efforts. Further, these combinations were evaluated on the basis of time taken to train the network, the validation accuracy achieved, the prediction time for same number of images, and the respective confusion matrices in order. For the training time, the CWT technique with AlexNet consumed the least time at 3 hours, 3 minutes, and 9 seconds. Following the combination which performed best in training, validation accuracy of 100% was achieved with CWT-AlexNet pair. Prediction time calculated for 900 test images and was found the least for CWT-AlexNet pair again at 3.585 seconds. For the confusion matrices, the prediction accuracies of 100% were obtained for all pairs. Now, considering the results achieved, a combination of application of CWT as the signal to image conversion technique, followed by implementation of transfer learning on pre-trained AlexNet, is proposed in this research work as the best combination model for bearing fault classification, this being the fastest and the most efficient. Validation of the proposed network combination was undertaken through application on two target domain data sets, as explained earlier. With target domain data set one, the proposed network achieves 100% accuracy with minimal training and low prediction time. The training processes for different subsets of CWRU data are as flashed on screen. From the table, it can be seen that minimal training and prediction times are associated with validation accuracies being the lowest at 98.36% and prediction accuracies at 100%. For validation of the proposed network with target domain data set 2, that is the data collected from the machinery fault simulator, validation and prediction accuracies achieved are 100% and 99.44% respectively. Research work, the comparative study of the signal to image conversion techniques and the CNN architectures, this has been undertaken through a relatively less explored concept of transfer learning. In this workshop, we have avidly heard about machine learning, deep learning, but the concept of transfer learning is still a bit less explored. The proposed network performs well for both the target domain data sets and hence can be put forth as a fast and efficient method of bearing fault classification, even at different rotating speeds as well as varying bearing dimensions. Good part about this research is no pre-processing of the acquired vibration data has been undertaken, and that is not required, and the proposed network performs well for raw data while providing highly accurate results. The computational cost in terms of time consumed clearly brought out in the analysis for different signal to image conversion methodologies as well as for light and dense networks. Therefore, proper selection of the signal to image conversion technique and the CNN pair holds paramount importance. Now, one more thing which we have encountered in most of the presentations, that the need for big data as we proceed towards deep learning and transfer learning. So this has been clearly brought out in this research work, that as compared to 14 million images in training the AlexNet initially, we have achieved these results by training the network using transfer learning by only 8,985 images of the vibration signatures. So implementation of transfer learning eliminates the need of large data sets, and the proposed work network works fine with limited amounts of data as well. Scope, as we can clearly see, that the selection of these signal to image conversion methodologies as well as the pre-trained networks, as most of us are facing the problem today in this workshop, that this requires domain expertise. We are not unable to understand most of the net terms since we are not trained, as sir, one of the speakers had brought out, that this works well even for non-trained AI professionals. So we require domain expertise in the field of engineering as well as the artificial intelligence or data science. So for the future scope, efforts can be put towards, this is my view, that this can be put towards development of algorithms for automated suggestion of applicable techniques without having, even if the user, the end user, is not having any expertise in the field of artificial intelligence, there's, we can look forward for developing of algorithms for automated suggestions of these techniques. Further, suitable signal pre-processing techniques and denoising of the raw vibration signals can be considered, while productionalization of this proposed network on board our naval warships, if this can be considered to further improve the results obtained in the present study. These are my references for this study. I'm open to the questions. Thank you.
The reason why I am calling this as a transfer learning, because the concept of transfer learning revolves around only manipulating the input layer of the pre-trained network and the final fully connected layer. So this has been implemented. It doesn't depend on the if the bearing is of the same dimension. The main concept, the main benefit of using transfer learning is to reduce the data set being, since we cannot have the data set of which is extensive, if I am able to explain myself, which is extensive in nature, we cannot have the our machinery run till breakdown just for gathering these large data sets. So the concept of transfer learning works the same, gives us the accuracies with minimum amount of data sets. That is why this has been termed as transfer learning, since I have reduced the data set to 8,900 images.
And I understand transfer learning. The motivation of transfer learning is to apply it also to cross domain.
Correct.
So when you look at this database that you get online, it may be trained on animal images, but you could use it for facial recognition of humans. And the human recognition data set becomes the target and the animal becomes the source. So that is well understood. I'm just trying to understand whether the bearings that you used as targets, were they of the same type or
no? The bearing dimensions as well as the working conditions were different for both the data sets.
So the initial ones were deep groove, which you tested on the district.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones that you used were?
They were also ball bearings, rolling element bearings only, but of different dimensions.
But deep groove. Did you try to see if the classification happens successfully on a different type of bearing,
no,
like angular
not,
contact or
I've not got the opportunity to try it on a different type of bearing. And as far as you were saying for the cross domain, we have attempted the same. The application of transfer learning has been done cross domain only, because the AlexNet has been trained for image classification, not for vibration signature. So I have also attempted the same in this research.
Yeah, I hope
I was able to answer.
Yeah, just one more. It's not a question, it's a suggestion. See, as far as the end user is concerned, the end user is less worried about actually the classification. The bearing failed because of inner race, outer race, ball, cage, etc. I don't know whether you will be able to carry out such experiments again some other place. But I would like to suggest that the reason why one would like to still classify is because each of these defects grow at a different rate. Because of the rotating speeds are different and the rotational velocity is different. So inner race defects grow at a different rate, outer race. So when people are trying to do prognostics, that means predict the residual life, it has been found that if you know what kind of defect it is, and if you have trained an algorithm which takes first the classification, and then predicts the taking that as an input, the predictions are more accurate. So in that sense, it still matters to have the classification done as the preliminary step before the RUL estimation, and then go for the RUL estimation.
Yeah, I'm trying to read about the FDD, fault detection as well as the diagnosis.
Yes. So
and
if
the prognosis
So if you keep this in mind, I'm sure if you develop these algorithms further, you will get a better performance.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Thank you, sir, for your guidance and inputs to the paper presenter. It's a privilege for us that Tori proposes professors from IIT Bombay, Professor Makan Kulkarni and Professor Manjish Anawala are there with us during this paper presentation. May I have any other questions from the audience?
Hello. Good afternoon. I am Captain Kamal.
Sir, good afternoon.
I am no domain expert, but out of common sense, I just want to ask one question,
sir.
You said in the transfer learning,
sir,
in place of some few millions, sir, you achieved the answers in some 4,000, 8,000 something.
8,900.
So I mean, out of common sense, I feel that if it was in millions, maybe you'd have got accurate results. Maybe the results would have been better.
Sir,
that's just my.
So definitely the results can be better, but we cannot cross
the 100%
mark.
No, the result may be opposite also, for all you know.
Definitely, sir.
Just think about
that. That explains the concept of explainability of AI. So we cannot reproduce the results. Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Any more questions from the audience? I must say, Lefman Sahil, that you presented yourself very well. I would like to know that are you trying to correlate some kind of work, which is like you have converted signals to images and then the processing and then getting the results? Are you? But we do have numerical features also being recorded, like vibration and all. From there, some results coming and then try to correlate your findings. Are you working in that domain?
Sir, as of now, to be true, I am not working in that direction, but I am reading about that, and given the first opportunity, I would love to go for the numeric analysis as well.
Basically, it will only add on to your thing, and then you will be able to collaborate your fact.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to use a tool which is basically using image-based neural network.
Correct.
But actually, for this problem, because what is the end objective? End objective is to identify a bearing. One is life, when it's going to fail. The other one is prevention. Because most often than not, from what I have seen on board ships, the cause of vibration may not be bearing. One.
Correct.
So the data points where you're taking, which position you are keeping the accelerometer, and other parameters. Just for example, if it is a bearing which is put into a pump, a parameter which is associated with the motor will also give an indication whether what is the diagnosis. So what he was telling is gathering multiple vectors rather than one particular vector, and then using numerical values based on a numerical statistical modeling, whether it is different Bayes algorithm or probabilistic or statistical analysis. Won't it be a better solution for this predictive maintenance kind of? That's what I think you are trying to.
Yes, it will call up support finding. But I must say that it's a good idea even to look at converting signal to images, because you are able to capture a temporal domain in that manner. But at the same time, you can have some findings from the numerical analysis as well, and then compare them that which one is doing better. But also using signals and then converting to images, you need to do a lot of pre-processing so that the signals what you are using are actually for the bearing which are in operating. You have used the test data like that, it will not affect. But if you are using data which is coming from a real-time basis, there will be lot of signals which are unnecessary and like.
That is what, sir, I had brought out in one of the slides, that the noise, basically, which you are referring to in the vibration signal, the pre-processing is not required in this image conversion. That is why I had applied three techniques. Noise was also introduced in, during my experimentation, but that was not affecting the results.
What is the percentage of noise in distribution?
So that I'll be able to.
If the percentage is less, then it's good, but the kind of work which we did, the percentage of noise coming from real time data is.
Yes, definitely.
Right. The one you are talking about is the conventional approach, where we have to decide what feature we want to extract from the raw data. Is it RMS, kurtosis, HFT, HFRT, time domain, time frequency, whatever, and then the choice of the right parameter will decide the success that we will get.
Definitely.
Because the behavior of these parameters with defect criticality, their size, the progression is not necessarily monotonous. Right? Some features show increasing trend and maybe after a certain defect size, they start coming down. So unless we are very sure about the choice of the feature, the accuracy of our classification prediction gets affected. But of course, so far, people have proved these to be successful. what he's trying to do is, he's saying, I don't know what feature is right. I'll allow the tool to extract whatever feature it is. And based on that feature, which may or may not make sense. So that's what makes it a black box. In the other case, I know what I am extracting, what RMS means, I understand. In his case, it's a black box, but it says, I don't care what features it is extracting. It may be extracting based on 10 features, 15 features, whatever it may be, only on the raw data. And then it is using that to do the classification, which is how the image-based things work. So when I present my face as an image to the algorithm, it extracts features. It doesn't tell me what features it is extracting. It is useful for transfer learning in the sense, I don't know how you have done it, but you must have replaced the last layer.
Correct, sir. That is what I
have. And retrained the algorithm.
Yes, sir.
So, excuse me if it is a repetition of what you already know. So, what it says is that originally trained on, let's say, images, the algorithm has learned to identify eyes, ears, nose, or features, outline, etc. That knowledge is retained. What now needs to be changed is, let's say, from classifying animals to classifying, let's say, birds. And that additional change is by, you know, removing the last layer from the original generalized algorithm, making it blank and retraining it with the new data set. So that is the reason why a smaller data set for the target is required. You know, with less data, you can do that. And therefore, the drawback is that it's a complete black box. You don't know what it is extracting and will significantly depend on the data sets, the size of the data sets, number of bearings. How many bearings have you tested?
I had tested 10 bearings.
10 bearings. So question is 10 enough? Has the algorithm seen all possibilities coming out of those 10 bearings? All those challenges and questions will be there, but he is free. He has freed himself from the difficult question of what parameter
feature
extraction. So thank you. That's my input.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.